Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Dialogue Not Division, titled Coming Together Through Dialogue. So you might be wondering, why have I decided to start this podcast? Well, really, what it all comes down to is the current environment of politics is just full of rhetoric and two sides just really divided, everyone talking negatively about each other. You sit here and you listen to any, just about any mainstream political person, and what they sit here is they kind of throw stones back and forth at either side. They're all just being harsh. They're trying to paint each other in a bad light, and really what you're not seeing is two sides even making an effort to understand the other side. So what I want to do is really to just to try to take a moderate approach to everything and really just come through and try to understand both sides of these divisive issues. This is something that I've just been seeing lately all over Facebook. You look around and everyone's using the political goings on just kind of poke at the other side. So here what I've decided to do is just to really air my thoughts out on this podcast, most likely about once a week. So really, my goal is just to spend that once a week. We'll speak about whatever the contentious current issue is of the day, or maybe we'll just pick one that's a common topic that's coming up, and what we'll do is we'll try to explain it from both sides, and I'll go over my thoughts. My goal is always going to be to assume the best intentions from both sides and from the middle. I'm going to try not to just assume the worst of anybody, or just to call people horrible people or anything like that. Most of the time, this podcast is probably just going to be me. There are some things that I may not be able to speak about, some things that I don't know much about, so I may bring on a friend or somebody level-headed and we'll see if we can have a discussion about it. So before we move on, you might be wondering a little bit about me. So I'm by no means a political expert. I've really just started paying attention to politics over the last maybe 2-3 years. And more so, I've just seen how bad everything's getting. I'm registered as an independent. I normally do lean a bit conservative, but almost always I understand the other side and where they're coming from. I kind of found myself playing the role of moderator on Facebook in the comments. I never really posted on Facebook, and I would see these just inflammatory, short, out-of-context things that would come up, and I'd try to sit there and rationalize the other side's perspective. And a lot of times I think I was fairly successful in getting the other side just to see that, okay, maybe it's not quite so bad. So, with that, more about me is I am former military. I served a short while, 6 years in the Air Force. I lived in quite a few different states across the U.S. I'm married, I have kids, and just generally, I believe that America is a good country to live in, but it's also in no way perfect. It has many flaws and a long way to go to be the place that I want my kids to be raised. So you might ask, what's the big issue? Why am I doing this now? So, of course, as we all know, this January 6th, the Electoral College was casting their votes. And, of course, there was a large protest turned riot, and a bunch of extremist people rushed in the Capitol, and there was generally chaos as they called for all kinds of crazy things to, you know, stop the steal. And of course, what happens after this is the same thing that happens after pretty much every major event is, well, kind of both sides start going at each other. So of course you got the left, and the left is talking about this attempted coup and, you know, start generalizing all Trump supporters as dangerous. And of course, from the right, you start talking about, you know, the overreaction, then there's all kinds of excuses and things that are going on, and there's just this massive pushback on everything. And what I started seeing is, you know, these terrible events happened, and both sides use it to start digging into the other side yet again. And all I saw in this is what I wanted to do was just to start bringing people together. So I made this really lengthy post on Facebook, and with it, somebody told me, my wife told me, maybe you should start a podcast. And as the events unfolded, which I'll talk about in a little while, it's just more and more division, and I see people really just trying to take advantage of a terrible thing that happened. And so that's what started this podcast. And of course, I want to say that what happened is absolutely unacceptable. Violence is not the answer. It is almost never the answer, and it's certainly not the answer in this case. And so what do we see here? I saw quite a few things happening from this. First, I saw some people trying to justify the actions, which was interesting. I also saw people trying to use this crisis for political gains. And I also saw people trying to use this crisis to attack all members of one side and really start to get just to really start to ferment hate towards the other side. And that's really, I think, the absolute worst thing that we could do in a time like this. In a crisis time, or when something like this happens, when your democracy comes under attack, I don't think it's a time to pit half the country, or if you want to say 60% of the country, against the other 40% of the country. So I'm going to kind of take some of these things that I'm seeing, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is people using this crisis as an attack. So again, as I said, violence isn't the answer. Violence certainly isn't the answer in this case. And what they did is horrible. It was absolutely horrible. By now, it's all come out. I believe there were 5 deaths out of this. 2 police officers, one shortly after. I believe a second one is actually a suicide related. I could be mistaken. I'm not knowledgeable about everything. One was a lady that was trying to kind of climb through a window in the middle of the Pentagon, a veteran. And a lot of people are using the veteran status to try to make it sound like the shooting of this was, you know, this some hero. Again, I respect everyone that serves the country, but being a veteran doesn't give you an excuse to, you know, try to storm the Capitol and go into where the vice president is and many of the other members of Congress. So with that, I saw that, and almost immediately we see this whole, all Trump supporters are bad, Trump supporters are evil, Trump supporters are racist, Trump supporters are extremists, and all of that. And that's the rhetoric that immediately we start seeing. People starting to use this crisis to try to make the other side look bad, a continuation of last year of exactly what was happening. And this is kind of where I stopped, and, you know, a lot of people wanted to point out, and this is where I'll kind of give the more conservative point of view, is nearly everybody I knew that was conservative, condemned the actions almost immediately, and rightfully so, I should say. And then again, you just have all these people calling all of them horrible people, terrible people, and all of this. And all I had to say was, you know, the conservatives were thinking back to this past year when there was equality protests, Black Lives Matter protests, protests of police brutality. And these protests were for a very great cause, backed up by a lot of people and a good majority of America. And a lot of these protests didn't stay peaceful, just like this one. Unfortunately, there were many, many deaths around it. Again, not caused directly by the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of people took advantage of that movement for looting, for burning. We even had a large block of city taken over and, you know, held for a long period of time, all in the name of this. And the whole time you're seeing conservatives talking about, you know, law and order, and a lot of the media was making excuses. Just to be quite frank, you have mainstream media people saying, well, who said, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here, you know, who said protests have to be entirely peaceful, things like that. And, you know, and then we had a lot of people saying what I truly believe is, you know, don't judge the movement by these few people that are going up and stirring and taking advantage of it. Don't judge the entire movement just because there are horrible people that are burning things and looting and killing people. And that was a really good point. And that was something that we were constantly reminded of. And now here we are a little bit later, and it happens on the other side. And one of the first things I see is that standard getting dropped. And that's really what I wanted to talk about is what happened to that. Again, not all Trump supporters, not all conservatives, not every single person believe this. A lot of people were there that, again, weren't rushing the Capitol. So I just want to take that moment and let people think back and to really go back to that standard. Is you can absolutely criticize the people involved. You can say they should be prosecuted, which they should, in my opinion. You can criticize the president for the role he had in this. Some of his harsh rhetoric, many say, is directly responsible. Some people say he directly incited that, which I can understand that perspective. But at the same time, when you look at the conservative point of view, you didn't necessarily see that happen just a few months before. You didn't see the calling for all of the people that organized the Black Lives Matter protests. You know, you didn't see them get people calling for them to be prosecuted. Because again, they were organized an event, and then small extremist people took advantage of that event to create unrest. And here we're seeing everybody that even had any kind of mention of election fraud or irregularities right now is getting called out as enemies, and of enemies of democracy is what they're saying. And I just want to people to pause and just think about it, and just think about the underlying root cause for why this happened. So that's one of the things I'm seeing. And again, I'm not excusing what happened, and by no means is that a good thing. No, by no means is that something that should have been done. So now that I've brought up the root cause, I'll go ahead and go in here and we'll just talk about what I think is the root cause. Of course, I don't know for sure. I don't know who planned that, if it was planned, exactly what was going on. So I there's some ignorance there, and feel free to, you know, if I'm mistaken, people can send me a message. But what I do want to say is it was about more than just the stop the steal that's being messaged now. If you look at everything that came in this election and prior to this election, one of the big conservative things was they felt like they didn't have a voice, or that their voice was being suppressed, and that that the media was out to get them. And if you look at it objectively, I think that most people could at least understand where they're coming from. So I understand you may not agree with the fact that the media is, you know, against them or silencing their voice, but you do need to look at the fact that there's a large group of people that felt like the media was against them. They felt like their opinions were being suppressed. They felt like everywhere they turned, people said that what they were saying wasn't correct. So I'll give you an example. And of course, this one, again, the election just fed into this, because what you had is you had a bunch of Trump supporters that went to bed at night thinking Trump was ahead. And there are a bunch of reasons for this. And then what they have is, you know, counties randomly stop counting, and they wake up in the morning and what looked like a solid lead was gone. And so, of course, they were frustrated. And I want you to just imagine yourself on election night if the roles were reversed. I want you to just imagine if Biden was way ahead in all the key counties or most of the swing states. You went to bed, and when you woke up, almost all of the votes were for the other party. What you would think. Now, of course, and then on top of that, to further make the issue worse, you have the videos of, you know, briefcases coming in. You get the reports of people being denied access. You get all kinds of reports of different things where Republicans claim they weren't being treated fairly. You have videos coming out of, you know, random briefcases getting wheeled into somewhere, all kinds of stuff that just on the surface looks bad. And so you go through, and there were explanations for most of it. Some of them good, some of them not good. I'll bring up another one. There was a pipe that supposedly burst, so they stopped counting in one of the counties. And when it comes down to it, there wasn't a pipe that burst, even though all the news said that, and they continued counting afterwards when allegedly a bunch of people were sent home. Now, there was an explanation given for that. It wasn't a great one to me. But again, and then what happened was the media started pushing, for fear of unrest, started pushing the narrative of no evidence. We heard it time and time again, no evidence. Sometimes it was no evidence of widespread voter fraud. And that's, I think, a big mistake. Because what you had is no evidence, and then you had all social media telling people that they couldn't even talk about it, that they couldn't post about it. And every time they posted about it, you know, you stick a big thing on it saying that the election is the most secure ever. And I realize the intentions there were likely good. They didn't want people feeding into unrest, doubting the integrity of the election. Some of it, I think, was lessons learned from the last election, where, again, there was the other side in this time saying that Russia interfered with the election. So there wasn't a great confidence even before, and now they didn't want it. But what you had is a bunch of the media telling people that there was no evidence and you couldn't talk about it. And if you talked about it, eventually they moved to, if you talked about it, you'd get suspended. And no matter what your view on that, no evidence is flat out wrong. There were thousands of signed testimonies about this stuff. Now, what there was in my opinion, in most people's opinion, there was a lack of clear and compelling evidence, especially in any quantity near what you'd need to overturn these certifications. So there wasn't good evidence, but what conservatives heard was there was no evidence. And then you have, to make matters worse, you have social media such as, I believe it was Twitter, blocking access so that people couldn't even post a link to actual court cases that were being filed. Public record, things that you should be able to look at for fear of, you know, stirring up unrest again. So when you post something that was an actual court case, people couldn't even read what was being alleged. Now, Twitter went back on that, realized that was a mistake. And I understand that. So what you have here is people that already felt like they couldn't talk. Again, what they did is they tried to silence them instead of talking to these people and trying to reason with them, which I understand reasoning with some conspiracy theories or theorists. I'm not calling everyone that believes in the election irregularities conspiracy theorists, but I understand reasoning can be quite difficult. But instead of letting people post and then having discussions, we just shut it off and said, you're not allowed to talk about it. And then we had the things, no evidence. There was no evidence. And they'd take the court cases. Many of them were dismissed for lack of standing, which I'm no lawyer, but generally my understanding means is basically you can't sue for this. Someone else would have to sue for this. So you don't have standing. You're not allowed to bring this lawsuit. So some of them were dismissed for that. Every single dismissal was propped up by the media, or not every single, most of them, as, you know, they had no evidence. When a lot of times when you read the actual decision, it wasn't no evidence. There were quite a few that were no evidence, but several of them that said no standing. So really what they got is a bunch of judges that didn't want to take the cases or wouldn't take the cases because of that lack of clear and compelling evidence, because no judge should overturn the election on a bunch of, you know, random signed yes under the threat of perjury statements. Nobody should overturn the election because of that. And so most of these judges were very hesitant to give it any weight or consider it. Probably rightfully so. And then, of course, you had all the states trying to sue the certain states, and the Supreme Court refuses to hear the case. And the perception that gave many conservatives was that nobody would listen to them, that they had a lot of concerns, and nobody would take them seriously. And I just want you to imagine if the roles were reversed for a moment. And I know you'd like to think that you wouldn't get caught up in the misinformation, or that you wouldn't get caught up in a lot of the things, but I think it's a lot easier when your emotions are high, when you really think that your candidate should have won. You really start seeing stuff that feeds into that confirmation bias that we all have. And just like so many that talked about, you know, the Russian collusion and Russia interfering and all of that stuff, the same thing would have happened the other way around if you had seen it. So I would just ask that you give these people a benefit of the doubt. I understand there is not widespread evidence, but you must understand that there is a lot of Americans that didn't feel heard at this time. And they felt like they had nowhere to go. And then, of course, you have you have Trump leading a rally right before that, trying all of his last-ditch things to try to get the results changed. And it did. It fed into a lot of that. I would call that poor decision-making. Many people would disagree with me. And what you have is you have a large majority of Americans that just felt like the election wasn't as secure as everyone talked about, and they felt that they weren't heard. And so they did what they were supposed to do. They protested. And that's exactly what people that aren't heard and feel like the system isn't serving them are supposed to do. And they protested when, you know, a few people were going to go and bring objections before. A good portion of people surveyed didn't feel like the election was fair. And there were some issues with those surveys, but there are a lot of Americans that did not feel like the election was fair, or that there were irregularities or whatever you want to say. And then you have a few people trying to bring that up, bring objections into, you know, the process, and those people are called the enemy of democracy. And I would encourage you to just cut through that rhetoric of the enemy of democracy and look at what the objections they were going to make actually was. It was, we don't want to allow these people to cast their electoral votes until there is an audit of the votes and we can have the confidence of the American people. That was what they said. That's all they said. And, you know, of course, to the left, they say, hey, there was already a recount in Georgia. There was already investigations into a lot of these things, and I understand. And what the conservatives say is, you know, in Georgia, they just kind of recounted what the machines already gave them. And there was a lot of questions about the machines. And what they said is, you know, we want an actual paper audit. And that's not an enemy of democracy to say, we want you to count carefully. So I would just encourage people to cut through that rhetoric, the talking about, you know, these people are the enemy of democracy. They didn't ask for, you know, for Arizona, I'll throw out Arizona, the Arizona's Electoral College, for those to be thrown out. What they did is say, place them on hold and let's do an audit and we'll figure this out. Whether or not that was smart or not, that's a different story. That may not have been the smartest tactic. Obviously, it wasn't. And really, so that's my long rambling story of the underlying cause here is we had a large group of America that didn't feel heard. They didn't feel like the system was working for them. And if this doesn't sound familiar, it's a little funny because just think back last year. We had a very, very large portion of Americans in 2020 that didn't feel heard. We had a lot of Americans that felt like the system was against them. And we had a lot of people on one side telling them that no, everything was fair. It was, and what we had is a bunch of protests. And yes, I am talking about police brutality. I am talking about systemic racism. And yes, you can make the argument that those are much more supported arguments. Absolutely. But when it boils down to, you had the exact same thing. You had a large percentage of Americans, or you had a big gathering of people that didn't feel heard. And then a bunch of conservatives, and well, not all conservatives, but a bunch of people just told them, no, what you feel is wrong. Systemic America, America is not systemically racist. You know, we looked at these few statistics and it's not true, and tried to suppress that. And they've been trying to suppress that for a very long time. And you had a group of people that did not feel heard. And so you had mass protests. And yes, you had unrest. And if you'll remember, it was encouraged not to use the term riot. I think it was the AP that said, you know, to use unrest in that situation. And again, it was people that didn't feel heard acting out. And what we have here is exactly the same thing for the underlying root cause. Not exactly the same thing for, you know, not exactly on the same level, because I'm not going to compare racism to election fraud. I'm not saying that election fraud is equally immoral. And again, I'm not saying election fraud happened. What I am saying is we had a bunch of people that didn't feel like it was fair. They don't feel heard. They felt like they were being suppressed. They felt like they couldn't get their edge in. So what they did is they went and protest. And yes, there was a group of them, just like the other protests, that turned violent. And that is in no way okay. But I hope you understand that's the cause of what happened. Or at least from my perception, that's the cause of what happened. It was people that didn't feel heard yet again that were lashing out. So what I'm trying to say is, instead of just dismissing it, let's look at that root cause. And then let's look at the actions that happened afterwards. This is where I kind of go into, and I start saying that one side started to try to use it to their advantage, in my opinion. And one of the things we did is one of the first things that they did was they started deplatforming everybody. You get anybody that talked about election irregularities, you know, they're getting all that suspended. Of course, you get Trump suspended and all of that for inciting violence. In addition to that, you get one of the platforms that was marketed as, you know, the alternative to the media that was against the conservatives, Parler. You get them targeted and shut down by their hosting, taken off all the stores. Technically, I think Apple gave them 3 days to basically remove all instances of their calls to violence or whatever from the system. I encourage you to look into the way that theirs was run. Calls for violence or actions like that were not allowed on Parler. They don't use analytics to try to fight that because of their beliefs and privacy, but they did remove it. They were slow. What I will tell you is I see those same calls for violence all over YouTube, and I don't see YouTube deplatformed. I saw those same calls for violence on Facebook, and I didn't see Facebook deplatformed. I didn't see a lot of those comments removed either. Now, I'm sure there were thousands, millions probably removed by Facebook that I didn't see. But what I am saying is, while their intentions might have been good of removing Parler, it's the exact opposite of what they should have done. Because what you did is you took a bunch of people that didn't feel heard, that moved somewhere because they felt that they were being suppressed or that their voices were being silenced, and you took away the platform they went to try to feel heard. And I'm talking about the ones that weren't talking about violence. And all they see is yet again them feeling silenced or people being out to get them. And again, you're taking away their voice. And as much as I hate to use, you know, the quote, because again, these issues aren't equivalent. But when you hear MLK talking about, you know, riots are the language of the unheard, very different situation that was set in. But I believe that applies here too, it is the language of the unheard. And when you start taking away somebody's voice, and when you take away that they can't talk about their grievances, even if they're not very well founded, all you do is fuel the fire. So, I mean, there's a reason why all these, flat earthers, we don't tell them they can't talk about it anymore. Well, maybe they do on some platform, but you don't tell them you can't talk about it. They can talk about it, and we can have a rational discussion with them and just talk. And really what I'm saying is, I don't think taking away or trying to punish all conservatives or punish anybody that, you know, listened to QAnon or anybody that did, anybody that was a Trump supporter is going to help. All that's going to do is further draw a divide. And I want you to think about the reactions for this. And I want you to think the way that many people or many political people are reacting to this is really for their gain. By calling all Trump supporters this, or by saying all conservatives are that, or by doing all that, they are driving a divide, but they're trying to make all conservatives look bad. Let's be honest. And then on the other side, you have conservatives also using this crisis as a way to jab at the left. So you got people saying, oh, now you care about law and order, or now you care about police officers, or now you care about stuff like this. This isn't the time to be taking these jabs at the other side. We already did that for the last year. It's not constructive. It's not. And so if you are one of those conservatives sitting here and doing that, or even worse, trying to justify it, and I still see this, as I mentioned on YouTube or other places, you see people trying to justify what happened. Well, at least what they did is they acted out against the government instead of private property. Okay, that doesn't help. And yes, they acted out, or they rioted and tried to go in there calling for, I believe, the hanging of Pence. That's not okay. And just because that's against the government, you feel grieved by the government, that's not okay, in my mind. It's not okay. It doesn't excuse that. And I just would encourage people to do what I'm really finding lacking, is placing yourself on the other side's shoes. Just for once, just sitting here and thinking, if I had different viewpoints, or if the roles were reversed, how would I feel, and how would I want the other side to treat me? And I'm really trying, and I spent my time on Facebook trying to do that, is getting the two people to see each other's sides. And when I see the conservatives sitting here and trying to make excuses, my favorite one is, no Trump supporter would ever storm the Capitol. We're peaceful. No way this was caused by Antifa or insert whatever organization here. It's just many people are in denial. And there are ways that you can do and bring it to their attention and just say, no, have you not seen? Just go look at the comments on many of the conservative, you know, YouTube channels where there's fairly rational people, you know, condemning this. And you look at the comments and you see many conservatives sitting here and saying, oh, this is what we need to know. No, there are Trump supporters that will do this craziness, just like there are Biden supporters that will do craziness. So again, what I'm calling for is just listening to the other side. I'm not talking about the violent other side or anything like that. And what I am calling on people to do is, instead of trying to suspend everybody, ban people, and deplatform those that have not called for violence, have a conversation with them. A rational conversation with them. And yes, I understand there are many people that you feel like you can't have a rational conversation with. I'd encourage you to try. Just try. Just sit here and say, this is what I see, and this is where I think we're coming from. And then listen, truly listen to what they have to say. And I think you'll be a little bit surprised about what you see, especially if there's someone that's your friend. I think more people are willing to talk than you think. And that's kind of why I have started this kind of podcast, is I want more people to talk to each other. I want more people to just look and see the really divisive rhetoric that's coming from both sides, where you sit here and you see, you know, one side talking about how bad somebody else is, and you see the other side just talking about how bad they are, and all they want to do is manipulate facts and try to make the other side look bad for political gain. I do very much deeply believe that our political system is currently in a bad state. It's in a state where we kind of force, or we try to force people to take one of the extremes. I'll kind of give you an example. I'll see this from conservatives, where a few conservatives came out and basically they came out and said they think, you know, they should take the 25th Amendment, that they should get Trump out of office and all this. And you see the other side of the conservatives talking about they're a traitor, or they're this, or they might as well be a liberal. And you see that not even just in this incident, other incidents, where you see anybody that tries to take a middle ground, or anybody that tries to compromise in politics with the other side, all they do is they get flack from both sides. So the left, in this example, we'll say it's a conservative. You know, the left still doesn't like them because they're a conservative, and then the conservatives gang up and attack them because they're too moderate, or because they're giving ground to the left. And the same can be said the other way. Exact same thing can be said the other way. So some of the more moderate left is, you know, they'll say something, or they'll go against their party. And the exact same thing happens is what happens when you're in the middle, or when you try to understand something, is both sides just attack you in politics. But what I want a lot of the people to know is it's not necessarily like that generally in the world. I think more people can be reasonable than we think. Not everybody is all the way to the left or extreme right. Not everybody is a hardcore left or hardcore right. And instead of sitting here and talking about how, you know, calling each other communists, calling each other Nazi, calling each other socialists or this or that, it's not helpful or constructive. You might get your good soundbite, but it's not helpful. And all you end up doing with a lot of these inflammatory remarks is driving people further into their defensive places, and drive them further to the extremes. So I would encourage you to open a conversation, even if it's a little bit difficult. But also know, and just commit to yourself, that there's a point at which you will back away instead of becoming angry. In the past, I've, you know, fought too hard. And you sit here and you get so entrenched with being right, and then it turns into insults. And that's not constructive. It gets past the constructive. But I would encourage you, when you see something inflammatory, to try to just help people see it from the other side. So hopefully at this, what I've said, everyone can understand. In summary, what I really want to say is a terrible thing happened that was dangerous, it was scary, it was very important politically, and I really want people to just look and to just try to see all of the harmful rhetoric, of the whole pitting one side against the other that the media is doing and that the politicians are doing right now. I want you to try to look through that and try to realize that some people on both sides are good people, or at least well-intentioned, but may believe something different than you. And that's okay. And that's really a good thing. It's good to have two sides of the issue. It's good to have the left constantly pushing and the right pushing back. It's good to have both. Both have their place, and they both should be keeping each other in check. But what we don't want is the both turning into these extreme parties that's just going to drive us apart. And so that's kind of the commitment that I want to make for this podcast, is let's commit to coming together instead of pushing each other apart. Let's commit to talking to others in a way that's less inflammatory and more designed to either win them over or not necessarily win them over. You don't even have to win them over. What you can do is just talk to them in a way where they'll at least understand where you're coming from, where they can see that you're reasonable. Listen to them and try to see that they're being reasonable. And let's actually come together. And that doesn't mean, come together doesn't mean you have to agree. We don't have to agree to be a healthy society again. But what we do have to do is at least listen to each other and understand where we're coming from. Unless it's violence. If anyone's advocating for violence or to hurt somebody else, then absolutely that is wrong, and that's a time to draw your hard line. But if all they're doing is a well-intentioned call for something, listen to them. At least make them feel heard just the same way you want to be heard. So really that's what I wanted to get through in this podcast. And I know it's kind of a lot as I go through and I talk this through. And I'm sure there are things I've said in this that you may not agree with. And that's okay. And if you want to have a conversation, that's perfectly fine. We can have a conversation about it. And I recognize that there are some gaps in my knowledge. There are probably gaps in everyone's knowledge, or there are gaps in everyone's knowledge. And that's okay. We're all a little bit ignorant on some things. But the only way we can really, really come together is by recognizing that all of us are ignorant and we don't know everything. And that really most people are trying to come from a good place and want to do what's right for our country. We may just disagree on what that means. And the only way to make it better is to talk to each other. So that's all I have for today's podcast. So again, let me know what you think. If there are some topics that you want me to cover, feel free to let me know. This is something that I'll be doing again every week to cover some of the current events, and the whole goal is we'll talk about some of it. We'll try to understand hopefully both sides of what's going on, and really the goal is to try to come together to have healthy conversations once again. So thank you, and I will see you next week.